I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The reason why I resigned is really because I could no longer be a part of the State Department and promote this policy. It's an inhumane policy. It's a failed policy that is helping neither Palestinians, neither Israelis.
As Israel's devastating siege on northern Gaza intensifies, we'll speak with Hala Rarit, the first and only U.S. career diplomat to resign from the State Department over U.S. policy on Israel. We'll talk about Gaza, Israel's bombing of Lebanon, and U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken's visit to the region. He's now in Saudi Arabia after leaving Israel. Then to Puerto Rico, where a pro-independence party is hoping to make history in next month's election. We'll speak to Ana Irma Rivera Lacen, who's running to be Puerto Rico's sole member of Congress, albeit a non-voting member.
Our position is to give the people of Puerto Rico a different option that moves us beyond the disaster. It's more important than the selfishness of thinking only about the parties. We united from that point of view to give Puerto Rico an alternative that provides answers to the people of Puerto Rico in the face of this scary corruption that exists.
And as New York Mayor Eric Adams resists calls to resign after being indicted on federal corruption charges, we'll speak to New York State lawmaker Zohran Mamdani. He's just announced he'll run for mayor next year as a Democratic Socialist. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's leading human rights group, B'Tselem, has accused the Israeli military of committing ethnic cleansing in northern Gaza as its devastating siege continues for a 19th day. In the Jabalia refugee camp, Israeli forces stormed at least three schools sheltering Palestinians, forcing those inside to leave at gunpoint before setting fire to the buildings. Palestinians fleeing the shattered remains of Beit Lahia report seeing bodies in the streets and Israeli soldiers detaining and beating men. The stench of death is everywhere. This comes as a United Nations report published Tuesday found 1 year of Israeli attacks on Gaza has set back the territory's economic development nearly seven decades, plunging three of every four surviving Palestinians into poverty, with Israeli strikes on civilian infrastructure leaving behind a, quote, vast wasteland of rubble and twisted steel, unquote. The UN warns Palestinians under Israeli siege in northern Gaza, quote, are rapidly exhausting all available means for their survival, unquote. Israel's intensifying its attacks on Lebanon. Earlier today, Israel bombed the historic Lebanese port city of Tyre, one of the oldest cities in the world, after ordering residents to leave their homes and businesses. More Israeli airstrikes hit Beirut's southern suburbs overnight. Israel's army announced it had killed Hashem Safidin, presumed to be the next head of Hezbollah after Israel assassinated its former leader, Hassan Nasrallah, in an airstrike in September. On Tuesday, Lebanese cabinet member Nasser Yassin said Lebanon will need $250 million a month to help over a million people who've been displaced by Israel's assault. He spoke ahead of an international summit on Lebanon taking place in Paris later this week.
You know, overnight, we've seen more than 1 million people being displaced by the attacks, hostilities, by the aggression. And this is similar to an earthquake. You don't see this number in its scale and the speed of it, except in major natural disasters. And this is what happened in 48 hours.
Meanwhile, the Financial Times reports Israel's military forcibly entered a clearly marked United Nations base and is suspected of using the incendiary chemical white phosphorus close enough to injure 15 peacekeepers. The use of white phosphorus as a weapon is a war crime under international law. In the occupied West Bank, Israeli soldiers fatally shot an 11-year-old Palestinian child during a raid Tuesday in the city of Nablus. Abdullah Hawash was critically injured and later died of his wounds. Over the past year, Israeli forces have killed at least 760 Palestinians in the West Bank, while more than 11,400 have been arrested in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's arrived in Saudi Arabia after wrapping up talks with senior Israeli officials in Tel Aviv. The State Department says Blinken urged Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to revive Gaza's ceasefire negotiations and pushed Israel to allow more humanitarian aid into Gaza. On Tuesday evening, hundreds of protesters gathered outside the Tel Aviv hotel where Blinken was meeting with Israeli President Isaac Herzog. They were demanding the U.S. pressure Israel into making a ceasefire deal that would see the release of hostages held by Hamas. The protesters, most of them family members of hostages, held signs reading, "No more war, no more bloodshed, free our state, free our hostages." Blinken's 11th trip to the Middle East in just over a year comes as Axios reports the State Department is reviewing U.S. aid to Israeli units accused of killing, torturing, and sexually assaulting Palestinians. ProPublica reported in April that a State Department panel had recommended as long ago as last December that multiple Israeli military and police units should be disqualified from receiving U.S. aid under the Leahy Amendment. The 1997 law that requires the United States to cut off financial aid to those credibly accused of human rights violations. Secretary Blinken still has not taken any action. Al Jazeera is continuing to demand for the immediate medical evacuation of two of its journalists in Gaza injured in Israeli attacks. Al Jazeera camera operator Fadi Al-Wahidi was paralyzed after he was shot in the neck by an Israeli sniper while reporting in Jabalia earlier this month. Israeli authorities have blocked the evacuation of Al-Wahidi from Gaza, as well as that of fellow Al Jazeera camera person Ali Al-Attar, to receive urgently needed medical treatment. Al-Attar suffered serious injuries due to shrapnel from an Israeli airstrike in Deir al-Balah, causing a cerebral hemorrhage. In related news, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders is leading a group of U.S. lawmakers urging the Biden administration to open an investigation into the October 2023 Israeli attack that killed Reuters video journalist Issam Abdallah in southern Lebanon. Six others were injured, including reporters for Agence France-Presse and Al Jazeera. Leaders of the BRICS alliance, led by Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have gathered in the Russian city of Kazan. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is attending the summit. Its host, Russian President Vladimir Putin, said over 30 countries have expressed a desire to join BRICS this year. As the summit opened, U.S. Pentagon Chief Lloyd Austin accused North Korea of deploying troops to Russia. He's the first U.S. official to make the claim after Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky accused North Korea of assisting Russia's occupation of Ukraine. This follows a mutual defense pact signed by Putin and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in June. Former President Trump's longest-serving chief of staff has warned Trump meets the definition of a fascist. Retired Marine General John Kelly made the remarks in an on-the-record interview with the New York Times.
Well, I'm looking at the definition of fascism. It's a far-right, authoritarian, ultra-nationalist political ideology and movement characterized by a dictatorial leader, centralized autocracy, militarism, forcible suppression of opposition, belief in a natural social hierarchy. So certainly, in my experience, those are the kind of things that he thinks would work better in terms of running America.
Trump's former chief of staff, Kelly, said Trump's recent comments about employing the military against domestic opponents had left him deeply bothered. He recounted that Trump said on several occasions, quote, Hitler did some good things, too, unquote. Separately, The Atlantic magazine reports Trump said during a private meeting at the White House, quote, I need the kind of generals Hitler had, unquote. Trump also reportedly referred to 20-year-old U.S. Army soldier Vanessa Guillen, whose 2020 murder at Fort Hood in Texas brought global attention to the epidemic of sexual violence in the U.S. military. Trump reportedly referred to her as a, quote, effing Mexican, though Trump used the expletive. Trump reportedly ordered his then-chief of staff, Mark Meadows, not to pay for Guillen's funeral, something the military had promised to do. Kamala Harris's campaign has said it regrets a decision to eject a Muslim American Democrat from a Monday evening rally in Metro Detroit, where Harris was joined on stage by Republican former Wyoming Congress member Liz Cheney. Ahmed Ghanem, a Democratic Party activist, former House candidate for Michigan's 11th district, says he RSVP'd to the event, cleared security, was seated at the Royal Oak Musical Theater when a staffer ordered him to leave or be put into the back of a police car. Ghanem told the Detroit News he felt targeted because he's Muslim, adding, quote, I didn't even have anything like a Palestinian keffiyeh, any signs or a banner, nothing. None of that is allowed inside. I guess that's how the Democratic Party deals with Muslims, he said. This comes as a new poll from Arab News finds Arab Americans are slightly more likely to vote for Donald Trump than Kamala Harris. Georgia's Supreme Court has declined to reinstate election rules approved by a partisan pro-Trump majority on the Georgia State Election Board. Among other things, the new rules would have required ballots to be hand-counted, potentially delaying results and sowing chaos on election night. Here in New York, a federal judge has ordered former mayor, a former Trump attorney, Rudy Giuliani, to turn over his luxury Manhattan apartment and other prized possessions to a pair of Georgia election workers whom Giuliani falsely accused of committing election fraud during ballot counting operations in 2020, leading to a torrent of death threats from Trump supporters against them. Ruby Freeman and her daughter Shay Moss were awarded $146 million last year after Giuliani was found liable for defaming them. Along with his apartment, Giuliani will have to hand over his collection of luxury watches, signed baseball memorabilia, and a 1980 Mercedes-Benz previously owned by actor Lauren Bacall. The judge has given him 7 days. Here in New York, the trial for a white former U.S. Marine who choked black street performer Jordan Neely to death on a subway train in May of last year began this week in a Manhattan court. Daniel Penny's facing charges of second-degree manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide for holding Neely in a chokehold until he died. Neely, a 30-year-old beloved street performer, was unhoused and hungry and crying out for help when the ex-Marine attacked him. Neely was well known to New Yorkers and tourists as a talented Michael Jackson impersonator. In Mozambique, more protests have erupted over allegations of fraud in the October 9th presidential and parliamentary elections. European Union poll observers on Tuesday noted irregularities during counting and unjustified alteration of election results at polling station and district level and urged transparency from Mozambique's election authorities. Protesters took to the streets of the capital Maputo despite a violent crackdown by Mozambique security forces.
Our rights to protest as Mozambican citizens gave me the will to go to the streets. What is happening in the country are things which I do not understand. There are killings, kidnappings, and we end up not understanding who is behind it. And automatically, Mozambique is not safe anymore.
And the UN Biodiversity Conference, known as COP16, has opened in Cali, Colombia, as indigenous and environmental activists demand world leaders enact bolder actions to protect an estimated 1 million plant and animal species threatened by extinction, most of them due to human activity. The conference is taking place as experts warn humanity is on the precipice due to worsening biodiversity loss and the catastrophic impacts of the climate crisis. This is Colombia's environment minister, Susana Mohammed.
This should be an international priority. Resources for war, trillions of dollars are immediately handed out. In 1 week, billions of dollars were given for military weapons and bombs. But we take years to obtain fair financing at the scale we need it when we talk about the most important issue, to defend life. This is what creates inclusive safety for everyone and provides a chance of survival for younger generations.
Among the demands are the implementation of a $20 billion fund for global biodiversity protection that was approved in 2022, which wealthier nations have failed to contribute to as promised, as well as financial support for indigenous communities that are in the front lines of biodiversity protection. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I am Amy Goodman in New York with Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Israel's leading human rights group, B'Tselem, has accused Israel of committing ethnic cleansing in northern Gaza as Israel's devastating siege on the area continues. In a statement, the group said, quote, "The magnitude of the crimes Israel's currently committing in the northern Gaza Strip and its campaign to empty it of however many residents are left is impossible to describe, not just because hundreds of thousands of people enduring starvation, disease without access to medical care, and incessant bombardments and gunfire defies comprehension, but because Israel has cut them off from the world." These are the words of the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem. In the Jabalia refugee camp, Israeli forces stormed at least three schools, forcing Palestinians sheltering inside to leave at gunpoint before setting fire to the buildings. Palestinians in the refugee camp say they fear they'll be killed if they stay put or if they try to flee south.
A lot of rockets fell on us, and the quadcopters started shouting and telling us to get out of the area. We evacuated and found lots of tanks and Israeli soldiers, and we were taken to a very large area, and they started shooting at us. They then started evacuating us from the area 10 by 10. When we reached here, I didn't know where to come or go. I'm sitting in the street with my children.
This comes as the UN Conference on Trade and Development, UNCTAD, has issued a report stating it could take Gaza 350 years to rebuild if it remains under an Israeli blockade. Meanwhile, Israel's also intensifying its attack on Lebanon. Earlier today, Israel bombed the historic Lebanese town of Tyre, one of the oldest cities in the world. U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken arrived in Saudi Arabia after leaving Israel, where he met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other officials. Blinken spoke to reporters before leaving Israel.
Israel has achieved most of its strategic objectives when it comes to Gaza, all with the idea of making sure that October 7th could never happen again. In the space of a year, it's managed to dismantle Hamas's military capacity. It's destroyed much of its arsenal. It's eliminated its senior leadership, including most recently Yahya Sinwar. This has come at the cost, great cost, to Palestinian civilians in Gaza. Now is the time to turn those successes into an enduring strategic success. And there are really two things left to do. Get the hostages home and bring the war to an end with an understanding of what will follow.
That was U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken. We're joined now by Hala Rarit. She served 18 years as a career diplomat before resigning in April from the State Department over the Biden administration's Gaza policy. She's the first and only State Department diplomat to publicly resign over Gaza. At the time she left, she was the Arabic language spokesperson for the State Department and the deputy director of the State Department's Dubai Regional Media Hub. Hala Rarit, thank you so much for being in our New York studio. We were just playing a clip of your former boss, of U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken. Your thoughts as we just passed this first anniversary of the Hamas attack on southern Israel and the ensuing Israeli attack on Gaza that has killed, this is by far considered an underestimate by most, at least 42,000 Palestinians, over 17,000 of them children.
First of all, Amy, thank you so much for having me. It really is an honor. And I have to tell you, on behalf of so many diplomats, huge fan of yours. American diplomats have been watching your show for years, and we thank you for everything that you do. In response to the onslaught of Gaza, I want to state the failures of this policy. That even for those that are thinking of it as this side versus another, we have to be realistic about the fact that it has absolutely failed. Secretary Blinken said Israel has achieved the strategic objectives in Gaza. No, it hasn't. That is quite a lie. Its objectives was the release of the hostages. That has not been achieved. Its objective was also the destruction of Hamas. That has not been achieved. The reality is that we, as the United States government, are in violation of U.S. law, of a multiple of laws that your viewers can Google for themselves. The Leahy Law, the Foreign Assistance Act, the Arms Export Control Act. We continue to willfully violate laws so that we surge U.S. military assistance to Israel. To what end? We are only empowering Benjamin Netanyahu to expand the conflict in Gaza, to expand the conflict within the West Bank, and now we're seeing the devastation in Lebanon. Again, to what end? We saw the Lebanese foreign minister insist that Nasrallah and Hezbollah had actually agreed to the U.S. and France proposal for a ceasefire before he was assassinated. There are other ceasefires in Gaza that we have been pushing, that Netanyahu is the obstacle. Yet this administration refuses to shift its policy, refuses to enforce U.S. law, and continues to surge U.S. military assistance. And the result has been devastating, absolutely devastating. These are human beings in Gaza that are being absolutely massacred, children. And this is going to have generational impacts and ultimately will not keep Israel any safer. And the entire region is destabilized, as we're seeing now with the threat of Iran as well. The policy has to change, and it has to change now.
And Hala, I wanted to ask you, it wasn't until earlier this month that Secretary of State Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin sent Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a letter threatening to cut off U.S. military assistance if Israel does not boost humanitarian aid to Gaza in the next 30 days. What's your response?
Thank you, Juan, for highlighting that. I can tell you, as someone that worked within the State Department PR machine, that this, unfortunately, is a public relations ploy. I'm sad to say it, but it's the truth. It is conveniently 30 days, marking the time after the election. Also, it was conveniently leaked. It's not typical for a statement like this to be leaked to the press, but it was. The reality is that the State Department and the administration at this point is trying to give voters, especially those that are so concerned about the conflict in Gaza, some level of hope. As long as you vote for us, after this 30 days, we'll enforce the law and we will make a change. This is absolutely a deception for the voters and for the American people. We don't need another 30 days. We have had ample evidence from within the United States government, not just the State Department, but a multitude of U.S. agencies with proof that Israel is violating so many of our laws, is systematically withholding humanitarian assistance from going in. As it was mentioned in the report as well, Leahy vetting is being violated, with army units determined to have committed gross human rights violations. We need to take action, and we should have taken action months ago. This 30 days is only a PR ploy, and that is the only thing it really is, and that's the devastation of all of it, because we have to ask ourselves, what is going to happen in these 30 days? Right after this letter was sent, the Israeli government announced that medical groups were no longer allowed to go into Gaza. They informed the WHO. These are medical groups, including from the United States, that are providing life-saving assistance to people in need, to civilians in need. This was a slap in the face of the administration. If they had actually taken this letter seriously, they wouldn't have taken that step. Additionally, the onslaught of northern Gaza is clear. They're continuing the onslaught specifically of northern Gaza, a complete blackout, no food, no water, no internet, all this in this 30-day period, supposedly. Unfortunately, we need to stop with the words, with the PR, and we need to take serious action.
And I wanted to ask you, even as the war, this horrific war continues, the United States policy and that of most European countries is still in favor of a two-state solution long term in the area. But the Israeli Knesset itself, overwhelmingly, not just Netanyahu's portion of the government, but overwhelmingly voted earlier this year to reject any possibility of a Palestinian state. I'm wondering your thoughts about the long-term future of the area.
You're absolutely right. And the fact that the Knesset voted on that shows the fact that we, as the United States, have been enabling and empowering a right extremist government in Israel. And it's time that we stop doing so. There are so many Israeli peace activists. We heard of B'Tselem, but there is a growing movement from within Israel, including family members that actually lost relatives on October 7th, that are demanding an end to the nonstop violence. These are the groups that we need to support. Same on the Palestinian side, Palestinian activists that are calling for coexistence. The U.S. government needs to shift its policy. Again, I'm just going to repeat this over and over again. We continue to empower a right-wing extremist prime minister when we should be doing is supporting civil society on both sides that are actually seeking to promote humanity for both peoples.
Hala, tributes have poured in from across the globe for 19-year-old Shaban Al-Dalou. He was a software engineering student who burned to death after Israel bombed Gaza's Al-Aqsa Hospital in central Deir al-Balah last week. He didn't actually die then, but the bombing set fire to the displaced persons camp around the hospital. He had built his little tent area for his family. This is a clip of Zateo News reporter Prem Thakur questioning recently State Department spokesperson Matt Miller about Shaban's death.
One of the people the world saw burned alive by the bombing at the Gaza hospital was Shaban Al-Dalou, a 19-year-old engineering student who was still attached to an IV drip recovering from a previous bombing. And his story kind of speaks to how this isn't just about one attack. A 19-year-old having to provide for his family, repeatedly displaced, brought to hunger, bombed twice in a matter of days. This is a year and this isn't out of nowhere. So how many more patients burned alive by U.S.
bombs? We don't want to see any. No, we don't want to see any.
Well, I guess the U.S. has said, you know, again and again, that no civilian loss is acceptable 10,000 deaths ago, 20,000 deaths ago, and yet it's continued. So how does this answer mean anything without a policy shift?
It is an incredibly difficult environment that Israel operates in. And I'll just make clear, the thing that question leaves out, as often happens, and I understand why, is the burden that Hamas bears. And not just the burden that Hamas bears by hiding behind humans and using humans as civilian shield, but the burden that Hamas bears in not coming back to the table to try to get to a ceasefire. So Israel needs to do more to minimize civilian harm. Hamas needs to stop hiding behind human shields.
So that's State Department spokesperson Matt Miller being questioned by Zateo News reporter Prem Thakur. Hala, if you can respond to this report. And, you know, since Shaban has died, his brother has died, his mother has died, his sister has died, and people are saying that the family members who are burnt but not yet dead because they can't get out and because the hospital is in such disrepair, they are dying from their burns.
Such immense human suffering, the scale of which we just can't really grapple with. And I have to just thank you, Amy, for humanizing the victims. And we all have to do that as Americans, because ultimately it is our bombs, it is our tax dollars that is creating this catastrophe. As to Matthew Miller, I'm going to be unequivocal. He's lying. And I realize it's quite of a forceful thing for me to say, but as a former diplomat, I can assure that there have been ceasefire deals that Hamas has agreed to. I am not one to advocate for the terrorist organization whatsoever, and I want to be clear about that. But facts are facts. Hamas has repeatedly agreed to ceasefire deals. It is Benjamin Netanyahu who has reneged on those deals. Additionally, you had another guest on this show a while back, Gershon Baskin, who's an Israeli negotiator who has been negotiating on behalf of families of hostages. I have been in close touch with Gershon over the last month. He had and continues to have a deal that, again, is an Israeli deal that Hamas has agreed to. I pushed this to the State Department. I pushed this to the White House at very senior levels. They have it, and it guaranteed the release of all of the hostages and guaranteed security for Israel as well. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We have a clip
of
Gershon Baskin.
I have pleaded with Hamas to say yes, not only to me, but to tell the Egyptians and the Qataris that they agree to the deal that I proposed to them, which is a three-week end of war, full-term ceasefire, Israeli withdrawal from Gaza, release of all the Israeli hostages, and a release of an agreed number and list of Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails. This is a deal that can be made. It is a million times better than the deal that the United States, Qatar, and Egypt have been trying to negotiate